Hi, podcast listeners. Lost in the Stacks broadcasts on WREK Atlanta from the campus of Georgia Tech every Friday at noon. Thanks for joining us through the internet, and if you have a moment, let us know how you found us, how you're listening, and what you like. We're always trying to improve and expand. Enjoy the show.
The Earth. You may know it as that blue thing Bruce Willis is always trying to save. Or from its famous collaboration with wind and fire. Or just simply as that place where George Clooney lives. Anyway, the Earth had some genuinely bad news this week.
A White House report that says global warming threatens every part of the U.S.
This isn't something in the distant future. Climate change is already affecting us now.
Now. Smart move, Obama. That is a key shift in how to talk about climate change, because we've all proven that we cannot be trusted with the future tense.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the one and only research library rock and roll radio show. I am Charlie. My co-host is, count it off, one, two, three, Amit.
Hey, everyone.
And we both work at the Georgia Tech Library. Anthony is on the board. Fred is in the studio with us, and for the next hour, we've got music and library talk for you. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Our show today is called, wait.
Whoa, Synchronicity.
Earth Day Sustainability Roundtable SustainRT.
Okay, so SustainRT, that to do that, you take sustainability, put it on a roundtable.
What's happening?
And you get SustainRT.
So sustainability spins around like a lazy Susan on the roundtable?
On the roundtable. We're having a lot of fun with Sustainability Roundtable, aren't we? Our songs today.
We are going to explain it to the people in the show, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Or get someone who knows what they're talking about.
We got an expert.
Okay, good. All right, you can talk about the music now.
Our songs today are about the things we're doing to the planet and how we're responding to environmental crises.
This is going to be a bummer show.
There's no getting around it. As humans, we've got our hands all over every little bit of the Earth, with the harm we do often outweighing the good, unfortunately. But it's changing, right? So let's kick off with Hands All Over by Soundgarden right here on Lost in the Stacks.
Crank it.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and joining us by phone is Madeline Charney. Madeline is Sustainability Studies Librarian at UMass Amherst. It is educational.
Oh, what's happening?
And it's Earth Day today.
You are so excited.
Madeline is also coordinator of SustainRT, that is the Sustainability Roundtable. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So can you tell us a little bit about what SustainRT is? What are the activities of the organization?
And what RT stands for?
Yeah, SustainRT sounds a lot cooler than Sustainability Roundtable, but I'll let you decide.
Okay, well, thank you. Yes, I will just also add that Sustainability Roundtable has a byline, and it is Libraries Fostering Resilient Communities, which is a mouthful, but it does express more about what we're doing. So we work sort of two ways. One is to strengthen ourselves from within the library profession, so we're a network that way, but also how we support all of our various communities. And like most ALA groups, because we're under the American Library Association, we are from all types of libraries. So we're from public, academic, special, school libraries, and when I talk in a moment about our webinar series that kicked us off, you'll see, you know, it's also paraprofessionals are joining us. We've had architects come to our meetings and our virtual meetings. It's really libraries in the fullest sense. So should I tell you a little bit about the history?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So there was a wonderful group called the Task Force on the Environment, which was under the Social Responsibilities Roundtable for many years, I think about 20 years, a very important group. And as things shifted and the sustainability piece started to come to the fore, you know, it's more than just the environment. It also has to do with social and economic issues. And we started to have a conversation inside TFOE. Maybe we should broaden this. And what should that mean? So a few of us started a webinar series to kind of involve lots of voices and see, well, what is needed? Should we try to sort of revamp TFOE or start something new? And we called the series Libraries for Sustainability, and this took place in 2012. Long story short, there was a lot of interest. We had hundreds of people registering, and a lot of those people actually getting onto the webinars and having virtual conversations, and then we all collectively decided, let's start a new roundtable under ALA. And so that was approved in January of 2014 at the Seattle Midwinter Conference. And it was a big celebration day, I'll tell you that. It was a long and labyrinthine path to get there. ALA is very big and hierarchical, and it was a really big success to be recognized as a new roundtable. So that's our early history.
Now, some people might not be familiar with the roundtable concept as it applies to ALA.
Well, I can tell you about our structure.
Yeah.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah, just real quick so people know that it's not just a table that is round to people.
I'm imagining King Arthur's roundtable.
Oh, okay. Well, it is a sort of, you could think of it as sort of a committee of sorts, as we think of it actually as a community of practice. That's really what we've sort of started morphing into. It's people with a similar passion, in this case sustainability, and practices that we all share or learn from each other and inspire each other. And again, it's so that we can inspire each other within the profession, and then how can we bring that out and help to spread this important messages back at our different library types. So it's really like a networking, professional development, and we, you know, talk about topics. And when I explain the activities we do, you'll understand more of how we function.
So in the mission statement for SustainRT, it includes a phrase that I find very interesting. A professional forum for ALA members to exchange ideas, opportunities regarding sustainability in order to move towards a more equitable, healthy, and economically viable society. And I find that interesting. It's, you know, it's very progressive, but it seems like you all have adopted a position here that the state of the world, the climate changes that are the science is essentially you know, final on this, is to such a degree that librarians should put aside any kind of neutral, you know, ethos that we're typically associated with being neutral on a lot of things, and saying, no, it needs to be more equitable.
Are you accusing them of taking a side?
You're taking a side. Exactly. Yes. I was trying to find a different way of saying that, but is it? Can you be neutral?
I see where you're going with this.
Right.
You're trying to hook me into a little bit of a debate, and that's fine. I don't think there's anything contentious here. And the way that I would answer that is, I would say, generally speaking, people that work in libraries and love libraries have a sense of democracy. I think that we are systems thinking types people. I know I'm making generalizations, but this is what I've noticed. I think that we're good at sharing information, and that we make a place where people can share ideas, like library as place. And I think all of those are so in keeping with the crisis that we're facing. And this isn't a political debate. It really is a biophysical reality. All you need to do is read the scientific literature, read the papers.
Yeah.
There's no question, you know, where there's a threat
absolutely.
We're facing.
And the article that was published in Nature, I believe it was last month, we'll get to that in the next segment, but just in the short time we have for this first segment, can you talk about some of the activities? Like, what do you all do when you get together? Do you put on, what kind of programs do you put on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited to say that we do a lot virtually, and that was very intentional because it's not always possible for people to get funding to come to the twice-a-year ALA meetings, not to mention the carbon emissions of all those flights, so you can stay home and or at your desk and still participate in a lot of what we do. So I'll just kind of go down the line to dovetail with that. One of our five project teams, we call it the online education team, and we do a webinar every few months. We have a guest speaker come and do a short teaching, and then we have a Q&A, and it's free. It's open to everybody. You don't even have to be an ALA member, although we're always encouraging people to, if you are an ALA member, just add $10 and you can join SustainRT. So our last few webinars, we're very new. We only just started doing all of these activities in the last year and a half or so. So the first one that we had was with the Center for the Future of Libraries, which is under ALA, and Miguel Figueroa took us through the different trends that libraries are looking toward, one of them being resilience. Another was sharing economies. We asked them to focus on a couple that really resonated with what we're trying to do with this outlook about building a more sustainable world. We had a really great webinar with a rep from Energy Star, which is an EPA government program, and they actually approached us. So I know we're succeeding because we're actually having people saying, hey, we want to collaborate with you. And we said, sure.
Very
so he
nice.
Did a teaching all around conserving energy in your IT library piece and how to keep your costs down and use less energy on the ground. The other one that we did was, I'm blanking, and strangely enough, our website is down, so I'm doing this from memory.
I tell you what, we got to do a music set, so I'll give you a minute to find that last thing, and we'll talk about it in the next segment.
Perfect.
We are speaking with Madeline Charney, coordinator of SustainRT, and we will be back after a music set.
File is set under TD885.5.G73.
Aus Mutants with Carbon Monoxide. I can't breathe. Before that, Essential Logic with Aerosol Burns. Ouch!
He can't breathe. He's dying and I'm laughing.
Songs about greenhouse gases.
Today's Lost in the Stacks is, it's Earth Day. This is one of your favorite holidays.
Woo-hoo.
And we are talking to Madeline Charney from UMass Amherst about her work as Sustainability Studies Librarian and the coordinator of the SustainRT through ALA. Now, I had to cut you off in the last segment. You were telling us about all the stuff that you do.
Yes, and in fact, I now remembered one of our other great webinars. It was called the Book to Action Program, and we had Chelsea Green Press again approached us and said, we'd love to collaborate with you. So we did a webinar where they talked about their various books, and then a public library director from California, she talked about how she has had a very successful run of these Book to Action programs where a whole community, in this case in the public library, read a similar book, and then they did community service related to it. And so one of the examples was a group read Janice Ray's book called Seed Underground, which is about starting seed libraries, and then the author herself Skyped in and helped the community start a seed library in their public library. So our webinars are meant to be inspiring, so like I said, anyone can log on for free, don't have to even be a member, and get inspired about what libraries are doing to create more resilient communities. So that's our webinars. May I go on with a few? few more examples?
Yeah, like what do you do internally? And are you taking librarians in back rooms and telling them that they have to do things?
No, everything's way out in the open. We're totally transparent. That's the beauty of all this. And I do want to say, also, I'm very proud of this. I've had more than one or maybe four people now have said, you know, I never joined ALA, or I haven't paid my dues in, you know, years, but I'm going to do it because I want to be part of Sustain RT.
Nice.
And that's the truth. And I feel really good about making a place for people where a lot of us have felt like outliers, you know, our voices in the wind around sustainability for a long time, and to be recognized by an agency as big as American Library Association saying, yes, green light, go, make your group. I can't tell you how affirming that is. Like, I've not been an ALA person myself until I got involved with Sustain RT. So we've made a home for like-minded people and other people who are exploring these ideas.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Madeline, before we you know, we want to hear more about the work of your organization, but I have to bring up something that was published in a scholarly journal, Nature. It doesn't get more scholarly than Nature, essentially, in the scientific community anyway. And when I saw this, I immediately thought, wow, this is an existential crisis that will affect my kid. In fact, the kids that are being born right now will have to deal with, potentially, the melting of the Antarctic ice sheet. So this was published March 31st. The article was called Contribution of Antarctica to Past and Future Sea Level Rise. And it does seem to be one of those moments in science where you can't be neutral on this moving train. This is anticipated to be much worse than the worst case scenarios that you know, have been bandied about over the last few decades. Are you familiar with this paper, and have you guys been discussing it within the Sustain RT?
Not this paper in particular have we been discussing, but certainly this issue is, you know, sort of truthfully driving much of why we started the group. This is urgent, to put it even mildly. I wanted to make a quick quote. Author, librarian Mandy Hank, wrote a book called Ecology, Economy, and Equity, The Path to a Carbon Neutral Library. And she said, just like the information revolution rapidly swept through libraries, the sustainability revolution must sweep through faster than we think we can stand it. So I feel like Sustain RT is like an engine that's going to help push ALA and librarians to, and, you know, the library profession to, like, go, whoa, okay, this is real, and, you know, how can I get on board? So, yeah, my stomach kind of churns when I think about the urgency of the situation, and I feel like Sustain RT gives people a place to be clear-eyed about it, and instead of turning away, there's a lot of, you know, just overwhelm around how very dire the situation is, and species die off, and, you know, completely in just imbalance of power, and people in vulnerable communities feeling it the worst and the fastest. Here's a place where you can come in your profession and, you know, and say, what can I do to help strengthen ourselves as professionals, as teachers, as collection development specialists, as program, you know, creators, like, how can we get people, our communities, activated, and, you know, how can we turn to each other for inspiration, because there's a really serious situation facing us, and you're right, it's not years down the road, it's affecting us now, and it's going to affect this very next generation.
So how do you balance, you know, in the activities of the roundtable, how do you balance the sort of imperative that you must all feel, like, hey, we have to do this, with the position broadly that librarians want to take, which is, here's the information, make your own choices?
Well, I think one very tangible example of that is one of our other project teams, we call it the governance team, has had a resolution that ALA adopted, and it's pretty out there. I mean, let me try to get the language out. And but once again, we're so affirmed that ALA said, yes, we will embrace sustainability within our whole organization. Now, how that's actually going to play out, we're still working on the details, but I want to get the language up right now. If you just give me 1 minute. Sorry for the pause there. It really was an adoption of, yes, we must act as a profession, and coming from ALA itself.
Well, while you find the language, let me see if I can restate what you just said. So this was a document created within the group that then you sort of sent up to the ALA brass and said, this is what we think. Do you all agree? And they formally agreed.
Yes.
Awesome.
They did. And I'm skimming around to get the resolution on the screen. Oh, here it is. Okay. Resolve that the American Library Association, on behalf of its members, recognize the important and unique role libraries play in wider community conversations about resilience, climate change, and a sustainable future, and begins a new era of thinking sustainably in order to consider the economic, environmental, and socially equitable viability of choices made on behalf of the association. Wow, that's big. This show will be archived, I assume. People can hear that statement again or
absolutely
look on our website where we have it linked. I could go on, but, I mean, there are other strands I'll just mention. ALA enthusiastically encourages its membership, library, school, state associations, etc., to be proactive in their application of sustainable thinking in the areas of facilities, operations, policy, technology, programming, partnerships, and library school curricula. So here's ALA saying, go, move.
Do something.
And we can get the underlying urgency is, the ice sheets are melting, the sea levels are rising, the temperature is rising. We don't have time to ponder anymore.
Right.
That's how I see this resolution.
Present tense. I like it. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll be talking with more with Madeline on the left side of the hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Nori Guthrie.
And I'm Scott Carlson.
And we're Indie Preserve.
And you're listening to Lost in the Stacks.
WREK Atlanta.
Well, you're in your little room, and you're working on something good. But if it's really good, you're gonna need a bigger room.
Our show today is called Earth Day Sustainability Roundtable. From the Paris Agreement, which countries are signing today, is that right? Today?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reading the script, folks, but I didn't know that was happening. Cool.
Some of them.
It's a bummer show. Article 2, Section 1, Part A. This agreement, in enhancing the implementation of the convention, including its objective, aims to strengthen the global response to the threat of climate change in the context of sustainable development and efforts to eradicate poverty, including by holding the increase in the global average temperature to well below 2 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels, and pursuing efforts to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels, recognizing that this would significantly reduce the risks and impacts of climate change. Will this be good enough? Well, in the immortal words of Philip Burris, it depends. File this set under QC 981.8. .G56. Where Are All the Flowers? By Rumskib, which is Bixmer backwards. Before that was Crisis by the Poison Girls. Stop laughing, Fred. Those were songs about responses to urgent events.
We're talking about sustainability on Lost in the Stacks, and our show today is all about the work of SustainRT. That's the Sustainability Roundtable. Our guest is Madeline Charney, who is coordinator of SustainRT and also the Sustainability Studies Librarian at UMass Amherst. Madeline, how can people get involved with SustainRT? First of all, do you have to be an ALA member? And if not, how do people find out what they can do?
Okay, sure. The best way is, yes, to be an ALA member and add us to your membership, and then you'd be supporting us that way. But you don't have to be a member to participate. We have these project teams, as I've been explaining. If you go on our website, which is ala.org/sustainRT, you can just see which one tickles your fancy and get in touch with the liaison that's listed and ask them what kind of activities are happening. Again, virtual participation is fine. Some of us meet at the twice-a-year conferences, and many people can't get that to happen, so you can still be active. We have the other project teams are the environmental scan. So if you yourself have done some kind of interesting library sustainability project or you know someone else who has, you can add yourself to this growing list. We're going to eventually make it a publicly accessible, searchable database. And also we have our outreach committee. So we have Facebook and Twitter and listserv and our wonderful programs. We always need help, more hands on deck to help organize our programs. This annual conference, we're going to have a panel of librarians from Aruba talking about what they're doing in their public schools with sustainability. We have lightning rounds, again, that's become our signature program. So those kinds of things.
So remind us again, how long has this been going on? How long have you been doing SustainRT?
We officially were given our stamp of approval January 2014. So you could say 2.5 years coming up.
And do you feel like you've already hit your stride and you're just going to, you know, keep doing what you're doing and do it better? Or are there sort of expansions to the roundtable or long-term dream projects you've got coming up?
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say our membership is up over 30% this year. We're starting to get noticed. We're still small. We're one of, because we're the newest, but we have, we're reaching for 300 members sometime in 2017. That is our goal. Sure, let's just grow this together. You know, I think we're on the right path, and we had a very full slate. Actually, every position to be a board member was competitive, so that's exciting. People want to be helping on the leadership team, although we're all leaders doing this together. Did you ask me what's next?
Do you have sort of what's the pie in the sky kind of stuff? I mean, obviously you're going to save the ice sheet, right?
Yes, we're going to handle that.
Yeah, but I mean, beyond that, how can SustainRT grow? How can it sort of jump past what sometimes I think roundtables feel like, which is just, a bunch of talk and the the occasional, networking activity. But you all are already starting to do more than that. But what would you love to do in a few years?
Well, I want to have a visioning session somehow, either, in a few strands of it, whether it's at our in-person meeting and then a virtual one, sort of visioning together what more, so that this question gets answered by our membership, not just by me or the board. I want to, this is an idea we've talked about, maybe a mentoring buddy system. A lot of people I hear from say, oh, I wish I could do this. It's not in my job description, or we don't have money, or. Well, who's doing it, and how did they get it done? You know, let's pair up and create a sort of a network in a network, and, to really move into more and more action. I want to bring in our school librarians more, and that has been tricky because they can't really do meetings during the day. They're busy with the school children. So how can we speak to that population? If you're out there, school librarians, let us know. We've been working that angle and need to do more. I also think that storytelling is really important in terms of identifying more of our human values and getting back to the melting of the ice sheets. You know, why is that important to you? I mean, we can think about it in sort of cerebral terms, but really, who are you? Why did you join this group? What do you bring to it? You know, what formed you to be the person you are that cares enough to do something? So we did some amazing storytelling with Project ARC at the Midwinter Conference. I know that you've interviewed that group. Casey Davis founded it not too long ago. Oh, last Earth Day. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary. Hooray! Project ARC.
Very nice.
So I know I'm sort of spinning in different directions, but I think just doing more of what we're doing, and we had a very successful method for figuring out next steps. We did this Think, Pair, Share activity at one of our earlier in-person meetings, and that is how we birthed these project teams. So we might fall back and try that effect again to think about what's next. But I just see us growing and growing, and the membership itself can help shape it, because that's how we work.
Growing and growing is very appropriate for Earth Day.
Hmm.
We've been speaking today with Madeline Charney about her work as a sustainability studies librarian and as the coordinator of Sustain RT. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
File this set under GC1085.M57.
Ocean of Tears by Big Maybell. And before that, Ice Age by Joy Division.
Bummer show, man.
Featuring Stephen Morris on drums.
Bummer show.
Songs about big climate events.
Charlie, what is going on at the library next week?
Behold, the mad sprint to final exams. Cram sessions, all-nighters, loopy conversations at 4 a.m., a reading period with no dead week. What is going on? Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. And in the middle of all of this, we are the Georgia Tech Library, and we are at your service.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Amy Doshi, Charlie Bennett, Wendy Hagenmeyer, and Fred Rasko.
Anthony was our engineer today, and our show was brought to you by AALL, the AALL.
Nice, law librarians.
Actually, that's Ann Arbor Libertarian League.
Fun group. Legal counsel and the seven petals of the Living Building Challenge 3.0. were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Madeline Charney for being on the show, to all the members of the Sustainability Roundtable, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
You can hear this show again or get in touch with us at wrek.org/lostinthestacks, and you can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or at lostinthestacks.libsyn.com.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, pirates!
Ahoy! Arr, matey, beware, there be pirates on the seas of scholarship.
That's amazing, he pulled it off.
It's time for our last song today. Originally, I was going to close us out with a song about the beach.
Yeah, well, why?
Well, you know, if our unsustainable environmental behaviors continue, then temperatures keep rising, polar ice caps melt, sea levels go up.
Yeah, and Atlanta becomes beachfront. Okay, I get it. And there's so many beach songs. Why aren't you going to do a song about the beach?
Yesterday, we all got the heartbreaking news of another musical legend lost this year.
What a bummer show.
For our last song, we mark the passing of his purpleness, a virtuoso and a musical visionary, Prince. This is Got a Broken Heart Again by Prince, right here on Lost in the Stacks.
And now, an even more bummer show tag. I'm tired of these memorial song choices, even if it's kind of, I mean, it's good that we do it. I'm just sad that we have to. I'm glad we played Prince.
Yeah, we did David Bowie.
Yeah, for sure.
But we missed a lot. I mean,
because you don't want to always just be like, oh, this person died. But
you know, some legends. I mean, well, Merle Haggard just a few days ago. Maybe, you know, next week we should work in some Merle Haggard to the show.
Yeah, we should play some Motorhead, too.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
And Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, yeah. Paul Kantner, yeah. Eagles, Glenn Frey.
Yeah. The Stooges, because of the other Ashton brother.
Right. Cynthia Robinson, trumpet player for Sly and the Family Stone.
She died. We should totally play Sly and the Family Stone. And we should do some clips from Die Hard.
Alan Rickman. You do a pretty good Alan Rickman.
I don't do an Alan Rickman. You know that. I do a Hans. Anybody else we should memorialize, Amit, that you can think of? It's nice that you can't come up with any.
Yeah, well.
That's it. 2016's reached its quota.
I'm hopeful and about the Paris Climate Agreement, but.
Bummer show.
This is a bummer
this
show.
This has been a real downer.
Anthony, why don't you just crank up the Black Keys and we can all just sort of stop talking about death.
Thanks for listening to Lost in the Stacks from WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Find us online at wrek.org/lostinthestacks to see playlists for old shows, connect with our social media, or get in touch with us.